There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
The Biden administration's student loan debt forgiveness program has survived now two legal tests. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. One of the legal challenges to the plan to let those with student loans write off debt got to the Supreme Court, which has now declined to intervene in a lawsuit out of Wisconsin. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Justice Amy Coney Barrett rejected an emergency request to halt the debt forgiveness program. Her decision was in a lawsuit filed out of Wisconsin, claiming, among other things, that the program violated the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. In a separate case, a St. Louis-based federal judge dismissed a lawsuit brought by six Republican-led states, which had argued they were poised to suffer financial harm. The judge ruled the states weren't able to sufficiently prove that claim, and the states said they plan to appeal. The Education Department has already started taking applications for debt relief up to $10,000 or $20,000, depending on income thresholds and the types of loans involved. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
We can see the Federal Reserve's fight to stamp out inflation at work in the housing market these days. Higher interest rates are translating into fewer home sales, fewer mortgage applications, and less home construction. But the real estate market is not the entire economy. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Well, I guess this is what the Federal Reserve wanted. September's existing home sales dropping 24% from a year ago. New mortgage applications with 30-year fixed coming up at 7%. New mortgage applications down to levels not seen since 1997. I guess the strategy works.
Yeah, sort of. Look, here's the thing, though, right? The Fed is not necessarily trying to kill housing. What they're trying to do is slow the economy. And they're not getting much traction in other areas. Bank lending last quarter was up, actually healthy loan growth. Auto loans are still booming. So, you know, with the Fed trying to orchestrate a broad economic slowdown, it's not done yet.
You have to be careful about comparisons like this, but it's sort of like the zombie movie, right? Where you keep trying to clobber the thing and it keeps popping up, that gosh darn economy.
Well, yeah, that's true. And partly it's because we were, and by we, I mean consumers, were actually really well behaved in this cycle. There's not a whole lot of debt in the household sector. So, yeah, the Fed is raising rates, but we haven't needed as much lending to get along. I think it's going to be difficult for the Fed to find traction, although if they keep pushing rates up, obviously eventually it'll get to a point where the economy slows down.
Christopher Lowe at FHN Financial, chief economist there. Thanks for the briefing.
Thank you, David.
In America, you're not supposed to have the same people sitting on the boards of competing companies. It's from Section 8 of the Clayton Antitrust Act from 1914, prohibiting what's called interlocking directorates. Well, this week, under pressure from the Justice Department, seven directors on five different corporate boards had to resign positions. This is the first time in nearly four decades this has been enforced. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business.
The logic behind Section 8 is that, well, if you're a director on two companies that compete with each other, it's just too easy for you to leak information back and forth or give hints back and forth so that these competitors actually aren't competing so hard, maybe are colluding a little bit.
Many Democrats believe addressing anti-competitive practices are behind a host of society's challenges, ranging from data privacy to inflation. There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Diwali, the festival from India, is coming up Monday, but along with everything else this year, celebrations are going to be more expensive. Nisha Patel reports now from London about what higher prices mean for retailers during the festival season.
I've come into a shop called Banwait Brothers. It's a two-story shop, upstairs Asian outfits, and here downstairs I'm surrounded by rolls and rolls of fabric sold by the meter.
Normally, we would see much more of a rush because it's all festival season, like Diwali. But nowadays, it's slowed down.
That's Raj Banwait. In holiday season, people come in to buy gifts. But he says the rising cost of living means that despite the streets being packed with shoppers, people just aren't spending that much.
Something which we were selling for 50, we have to sell it for about 65. If they're giving gifts out, they have budgets before they would be, you know, carefree and spend. You'll see a lot of footfall, but you won't see many people holding bags. They're buying, you know, lower priced items.
And this balancing of books becomes even more complicated when your business relies on imports. Upstairs, Raj's wife Jazz is with a client. Like her husband, Jazz is seeing fewer customers. But to complicate matters, Jazz imports the outfits for her store from India. And with inflation running at more than 7% there, it means the cost of these goods is going up.
Obviously, everything is getting more expensive. The courier's gone more expensive. But then we cannot increase our prices so much because people would not spend. So we have to absorb that.
This downturn is being felt across all business. In Asian culture, it's traditional for gold to be given as a gift at weddings. But brides like Hasina have firmly said no.
We've asked to have that money saved, actually, for investing or saving towards a property.
And this is not the kind of news that goes down well if you're a gold seller.
My name is Sham Chauhan. Om Saint Julius. It used to be for the wedding 200 grams, 300 grams. Because the price is high, they probably like buy only 70, 80 grams or 100 grams.
He says the high gold price means he's seen a huge decline in sales.
It's really bad. Some people do buy little stuff, but some people, they, oh, we think about it and come back. We don't even see them.
For businesses, uncertain times lie ahead. But they all have one thing in common. They're looking to the British government to put in place sturdy economic policies to help them find a way out. In London, I'm the BBC's Nisha Patel for Marketplace.
Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler and Nick Esposito. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.